Welcome to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. Merging sacred sexuality, spirituality, and soul with truth, love, wisdom, and beauty. I'm your host, Elise Cole. Are you ready to come journey with me?
Hi, stunning souls, and welcome back to Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. I am your host, Elise Carr, and it's such a joy to be back. It feels like it's been a little while since I've spoken with you, and I have missed it. I miss this connection and I miss sharing, but I had to let a few things percolate and brew, and here we are now. So that said, I've been contemplating a lot on what's important and what I want to share with you. And as I've often invited, you're welcome to also share with me what you would love me to muse on for you, because that's super important too. I want you to be engaged. I want you to enjoy. I want you to learn above all else and connect with your soul, with your mind, with your heart, with your entire being. So that in mind, today's topic is really in alignment with that. I want to talk to you about the concept of a warrior, and not in the way that perhaps you've been conditioned to know it. I'm not talking about Spartan warriors. I want to talk about warriors of compassion and light, and what that means if you feel you already are on that path and you already deem yourself a warrior, or perhaps it's quite new to you. We're going to explore it from both perspectives, and I'm going to give you some insight into someone who inspired me, a woman you may have heard of if you are interested in the Buddhist path by any means, and also how you can apply this in everyday life, essentially with yourself, starting from within, but also most importantly, if you're committed to this path, in how you can serve with others, which means how you can weave it into your life, into your practice, into the way you show up in every relationship, personal, professional, romantic, platonic, whatever it is, because that's why we're here. A warrior of light, a warrior of compassion is here ultimately to serve. So if you're ready, let's go and explore this concept together. Warriors of compassion and light. Warriors are often seen as strong, resilient, courageous, ready for anything, and especially ready for battle. That's what they train for, after all. But we have passed the time in human evolution where a warrior's strength is solely of body. The greatest battle is training mind and emotions, along with surmounting the glamours and illusions that veil the truth and keep us fixated on the physical body. That's kind of a lot to digest, but sit with that. Kind of understand where we are now. We're no longer about just building the physical body. It's about mind. It's about heart. True strength, we learn along the path, is found in the harmony of an open, loving, and pure heart, a trained mind, and a purified body. With a clear and purified being then becoming an ideal and useful vessel for greater light and love, let's call that soul, to pour in and radiate out. This is the type of warrior I'm talking about, a warrior of light, of love, of compassion. A warrior who silently serves where it is needed in the world and asks for no applause. A warrior who knows when to speak out and when to be silent. A warrior who walks the path ever inward and ever upward, doing their work while willingly devoting their time here to a good that is beyond their own personal needs, wants, and desires. It's big, hey? So how do we start this training? And how do we go deeper and deeper still if we are already a warrior? I've asked this question and I found myself with this answer that I'm now sharing with you. Part of the inspiration for this came from reading Pema Chodron on a winter's day in Torquay in Melbourne, Australia, snuggled up on the couch, and I couldn't help but muse a little deeper. I had my pen and notepad, I was sitting there, and what was really, really coming to me was compassion, what Buddhists call bodhicitta. In times of emotional imbalance and, let's say, frustration, anger, heartache, the wild times and the dark and out times, there is the call for cultivating the art of awareness. And what does that mean? Well, I'd say it's like asking yourself in those peak emotional moments, are my barriers going up? Am I walling up my heart right now? Because your role as witness and therefore warrior of this storm is to catch the emotional reaction, which also includes dropping the story you're telling yourself too, as no matter how much you believe your story, it's unlikely it's helping you right now. And instead, feel your entire body and being. What sensations are you noticing? Physically, emotionally, mentally? Take mental note, sit with this awareness, muse on, and contemplate if you can, even if you do it later or after the emotions have dissipated. And then you may like to compassionately recognize the situation for what it really is by bringing awareness to your heart. Take some slow, long, full Buddha belly breaths, and you'll find it easier then to loosen your emotional grip and let those barriers and walls begin to drop so you can bring more ease, more compassion into your moment and your being. Think of this at those stormy times of crisis as your go-to stop, drop into the feels, and realign. Yes, you're right. I kind of took that from stop, drop, and roll. Stop, drop into the feels, and realign. You realign then closer to compassion. Compassion for self and what you're experiencing, knowing it shall pass, but this is where you find yourself right now. And compassion for those involved or those also affected. When you make this shift, those around you can also feel an energetic softening as more of your compassion fills the space around you too. It's in practicing this warrior skill that you start to widen what Pema calls the circle of compassion, which she notes is where the magic of bodhicitta training lies. If you want to be a warrior of light, it encompasses training as a warrior of compassion. And as with any big work, it starts with working on yourself and within. If you don't know where to start with your compassion practice, I encourage you to take a look at what you avoid most. As it's what we avoid most in day-to-day life, that is the juiciest gem waiting for us to find and polish it. It is here in this often ignored, dismissed, shamed, and hidden place or places within us that the power resides. The power that can lead to cultivating compassion with a capital C. So what happens if this brings up pain? I've been asked this before. So let me share something with you here in answer to that. I used to avoid sitting in my pain. I would be hurt, broken, devastated and disappointed to my darkest depths, and in very little time would dust myself off, remind myself of the lesson that I've learned, and thus made this a positive experience, an experience of growth, while also justifying why others may have acted the way they did to find an excuse to only focus on their light, and then onwards I would go. I became masterful at using the will of my mind and the strength of my physical body to convince my emotional body it was fine and should really stop, as the forceful mind and body have got this and don't need you making things messy. Thank you very much, emotional body and heart, not needed. You know, and all the while, the sadness, the anger, the hurt inside of me, my emotional body or astral body as we call it, grew and grew and grew until I reached a point along the path where I was not going to be able to continue any further, not into greater depths and soaring heights until I confronted, acknowledged, and processed the pain. Actually sat with it. Let myself cry for those times I never did, or when I only had just skimmed the surface and kind of did the 5-second cry. I was very, very good at that. Instead, I would visualize being held in love by soul and let that inner heartache have its opportunity to be seen and heard and held in order to heal and gain new strength from the purest place of all, my compassionate heart. I had to find this compassion I held for others in myself. It is in sitting in the darkness with our pain at times that we can find the crack of light, a rebirth like the dawn of a new day from within, where the outer world has simply gone about as usual, but you have shifted. You've softened with the warrior work of reviving compassion. You've summoned up the courage of heart to tread with loving kindness the terrain of your own being, and you will be forever changed, able now to find and hold greater compassion for self and others. I do want to point out, though, it's so important to know the difference here between going into your pain with the intention to heal and dwelling or wallowing in self-pity or victimhood. Pema says that staying with pain without loving kindness is just warfare. And we can see the warfare that can go on in our own mind if we spiral down and stay there, almost beating ourselves up or feeling helpless and entirely alone, compared to taking the time we need while also opening our heart and turning our face to the light with loving kindness and compassion. As hard as the choice may be, we do have one. We can choose the inner self warfare that holds us in thrall of battle, using our mind and heart and body against ourselves and shutting the door to our beckoning soul. Or we can find our way to see, sense, feel, and know the light is always there. Our very soul, your very soul, is always tethered to you like an eternal lifeline, if only you take the hand of compassion to help lead the way. It's in finding this strength of heart, often after your own challenging time or crossroads in life, that the desire to not only help yourself, but to now take note of that calling to help all beings begins to grow. Part of the warrior of compassion's path is to light the way. Esoterically, we call this the service of the disciple. It is in consciously and willingly choosing to not turn your back on those who also need help, but instead to go back into the darkness this time of others and shine that light which you have cultivated to help guide and lead them out of their darkness. This may be in the form of teaching anything you can imagine. You may be called to help animals, to teach children music or art, to be an eco-architect protecting the earth as you design and build. Or you may simply apply the knowledge and turn it into wisdom, offering it to whomever, however seems appropriate in your everyday. Through these musings so far, I've actually subtly touched on three key areas. I see them forming a triangle, that of three connecting points being of study, meditation, and service. First is the study of self we've explored, to better know yourself, to heal those pains, to learn how you react, when, and why from your personality, that lower animal nature that just rah, wants to yell and scream sometimes. And when you come from heart and mind aligned, ideally from soul, with compassion and loving kindness. Have you ever been able to pick yourself in that moment and go, oh my gosh, I'm actually being really, really crazy in my personality right now? Or be able to witness, this is me coming from my purest place. That's what I'm talking about. Knowing yourself, knowing when you drop into either place. This study of self, this self-awareness, it's deeply imbued in what I teach through Stella Muse and Sacred Guidance Sessions. It is the devoted path of learning, knowing thyself as soul. By healing, witnessing, learning your personal patterns and rhythms, like I just touched on, removing glamours and illusions, those misconceptions and false truths that keep you in the dark, to instead better know what you truly are, which is not a body, my friend, You're not your feelings or emotions either. You're not your thoughts. But you are a soul. And how all those other parts of you are merely vehicles for the soul to work through as you evolve to higher turns of the spiral. From here, this study also leads to further investigation into wider knowledge and wisdom seeking. Be that your chosen field, what calls to you and stirs your heart and whispers through the silver thread of your luminous soul. For me, that is the ancient teachings of esoteric wisdom, from psychology to astrology to every topic known to humankind in between. What is it for you? It's a great question to sit with and ask yourself. And then from study, we move to the second point of the triangle, which is meditation. We meditate and contemplate our findings and the wisdom that is presented to us to reveal another piece of the ever-evolving truth. We meditate to still the monkey mind, the emotions, the body, and ultimately we meditate to train what we call the abstract mind, to build thought forms we truly want to manifest in the world for the greater good of all. We do this from a place of will to do good, from a place of selflessness. For this meditation is not for the self, not for the I or the me, but the we, the one soul, the one love, one humanity, the group conscious of all that is. And it is with this notion that the third point of the triangle is made clear. For that is service, as I touched on right at the beginning in the intro. Selfless service is an act of compassion. It is an act of loving kindness. It is every small and grand deed and offering. It is helping someone who now finds themselves in a wheelchair cross the street safely. It is dedicating years to raising a child who you know is to contribute to the bright future of humanity. It's preparing a meal for a loved one. It is giving a presentation to 5 or 50,000 listeners on something you've devoted your life to study, create, and bring into manifestation for greater good. Service is so vast and it is so powerful as long as it is selfless. I see my service in how I hold space for clients, women, men, couples who come to me, groups from workshops and retreats, and this, which I'm sharing with you right now, to shaving my nan's legs and massaging her to help her feel better and take away some of the pain, to picking up a bike I see falling over on the street, helping friends move house, and wishing the soul who just served me a joy-filled day. It is all selfless service to bring more light and love into the minds, hearts, and lives of others. This all takes open-mindedness. It takes courage. It takes commitment. There'll still be difficult, painful, and challenging times, but you continue to keep your heart open, indeed, yes, with healthy boundaries, and your mind open too, with loving kindness and compassion. For there is a part of you that knows all too well happiness in this life is not in things. It is not in the title you have on the door to your office or business card. It is not your social media following or your bank balance. It is not the car you drive or the orgasms, chocolate, and cocktail hours your personality relishes in your seldom free time. It is none of this. Happiness is inner work of a warrior of light, a warrior of compassion, who devotes their life to the inner and outer training, to the study of self and chosen fields, of meditation for stillness and alignment of body, emotions, and mind to connect deeper with soul, and in service of how you selflessly share all that you have to give with all who need it most whenever you possibly can. Happiness is peace for all. Happiness is when all souls realize their full potential and live from this place of wisdom. Happiness is in every act of loving kindness and compassion that you can show yourself and any other today. Simple? Yes. Easy? No. But that is why a warrior of compassion must train daily in rain and in sunshine, in silence alone, and in the company of fellow warriors. For the calling has never been louder for those ready, willing, and able to rise and shine light on the path for those in darkness yet to hear the call. So this, my friend, is your invitation. Your invitation to be a warrior of compassion, a warrior of light. May you accept the challenge with open heart and mind so your brilliant soul can lead the way for all those that you can serve today and every day before you. Thank you so much for being here and joining me today on this episode. Sharing this journey with you is a joy. And I do say that with absolute heart and mind and soul united because I mean it with every part of my being. It's a joy for me to share this with you, and I sincerely trust you have taken at least one gem away from our conversation. If you've loved this and you want to share it with a friend or three, go right ahead. Perhaps it's what they need today. Who knows? You could be shining a little bit of light on their path because you've accepted the challenge. You've accepted the invitation to be a warrior of light. If there's any way I can help shine light on your path, you're welcome to reach out to me. You can email me at Elise@stellamuse.com or jump on my website, stellamuse.com. There's plenty of videos, other podcast links are there, of course, as well, lots of articles. And if you haven't accessed your free copy of 10 Veils, you can get that off stellamuse.com as well. It's a fabulous 10-part guide, really, to help you go within, into the darkness that we've talked about that a warrior needs to explore in order to heal and really shine the light that is within them, destined and longing to be shared and shone on the path for self and all those you can serve. So that said, I'm going to sign off today. Please have a beautiful, joy-filled rest of your day and week. Know that I'm thinking of you and sending you love from my heart into yours for you to be the greatest version of you you can be, because that's the most important thing we can do. Be the brightest version of ourselves. I'm sending you love, giving you a big hug. Please take wonderful care of you, and I look forward to connecting next time on Sacred Guidance with Stella Muse. Mwah.